Hello, everyone, and welcome to edition two of New Thought on the News. I'm Barbara Fields, Executive Director of the Association for Global New Thought, the organization that brings you this series on the third Thursday of every month at this time. The very first thing that I'd like to do, which will be my pleasure, is to introduce you to today's panelists. Dr. Kathy Hearn is an ordained minister, speaker, teacher, consultant, counselor, and facilitator. She recently completed 10 years as the community spiritual leader of United Centers for Spiritual Living and had an important role in the recent integration of International and United Centers for Spiritual Living. She was awarded the honorary doctorate and the doctor of religious degrees by United Centers for Spiritual Living, has been a regular contributor to Science of Mind magazine. Currently, Dr. Kathy serves as an instructor for Holmes Institute School of Consciousness Studies and is on the board of the Science of Mind Foundation and the board of governors for the Spiritual Living Archives. She is a member of the Leadership Council of Association for Global New Thought and is active in women's leadership and empowerment work, having appeared in the film The Heart to Lead, Women as Allies for the Greater Good. Through her work with Association for Global New Thought, she attended the Synthesis Dialogues with His Holiness the Dalai Lama and presented at Parliaments of the World's Religions in Barcelona, Spain, and Melbourne, Australia. She's traveled to the Middle East as the sole female religious leader in support of AGNT's partnership with Harvard University's Abraham Path Initiative, and led an Abraham Path trip to Turkey and Syria in October of 2008. Recently, Kathy served as facilitator of spiritual leaders from the world's great religions at AGNT's Awakened World 2012 conference in Rome and Florence, and which is the same position that Dr. Ken played as well. Dr. Ken Gordon, as spiritual leader of the Centers for Spiritual Living headquartered in Golden, Colorado, Dr. Ken Gordon is responsible for bringing to the world the teachings of Science of Mind, also known as religious science, and toward this goal, he travels the world speaking. We are happy to say that Dr. Ken is the newest elected member of the AGNT Leadership Council. In 2009, he spoke at the Parliament of World Religions in Melbourne, Australia, and in the same year, his book, Mind and Manifestation, was published. He also contributes regularly to Science of Mind and Creative Thought magazines. In 2011, Gordon was awarded a doctorate in divinity by International Centers for Spiritual Living. He has also in the past been named Meritorious Minister of the Year and awarded an honorary doctorate of religious science by Religious Science International. In 2012, the Centers for Spiritual Living was formed when Religious Science International and United Church of Religious Science integrated. Dr. Ken played a key role in the integration and was elected as the first spiritual leader of Centers for Spiritual Living. So I feel very honored to have both of you as our program presenters today. So welcome, Kathy and Ken.
Thank you.
So now we'd like to hear from you who are on the line so that we can establish the field of your presence with us in this space. I'd like you all to take a moment and think of a word that describes your intention for a better world. Okay, so now we're going to turn on all of the mics for all of the people who are attending the call today. And on the count of three, I would like you to please speak your name and your intention into the whole group. Megan, are we ready? Are we ready to do that?
Yep.
Okay, here we go. One. Okay, so first, speak your name and your intention so that we can feel the field of energy that's out there. One, two, three, go. Thank you. It sounds like a very lively crowd. So, once again, I welcome you all today. And before we begin our panel discussions, we'd like to take a moment to set the stage for this unique new program. New Thought on the News is for spiritual beings who are very much concerned about and engaged in the real stories and circumstances that appear in our mainstream media every day. Spirituality, based on the principles of New Thought, is the foundation of our worldview, and we strive sincerely to connect these principles with our practices in real-time situations, whether they are taking place in our families, our communities, our nation, or our world as a whole. Ken?
Yes. Thank you so much, Barbara. And I would just like to begin an invocation here by celebrating AGNT, the Associated Global New Thought, to bring this forward and bring this out into the world. I think this is a marvelous idea. It's an idea whose time has come, and I applaud you for being the work behind it, you and Megan and the rest at the office. And so what I would like to begin with is Kathy and I have opted to create a spiritual mind treatment to open us with today. So if you'll just come together in that consciousness that you're never separate from, that divine knowing and knowledge that resides within the very depth of your being. Let's know without hesitation or without doubt that there is only that one power, that one mind, that one intelligence that permeates all things and is all things. And we open ourselves to it and unify ourselves with it, knowing that it cannot be that which is infinite and us outside of it. For by the very nature of the universe, we must be part of it. And therefore, every activity and every action that we take is one of joyous celebration and creative opportunity for the world itself. So I speak my word for this call today, knowing, understanding, and appreciating that this is a blessing for the world, knowing that our time here is valuable and precious, and that it spreads out from this place that we're in right now, this call that we're on, this connectivity that we have into the world itself, and represents and reflects it in every activity that happens in the world today. Understanding, appreciating, and embracing the concept that this life that is our life is divine, that it is beautiful, and that it is joyous. And this world that we live in, despite what we see outside, despite the temporal view of it, is a world that is unfolding to the conscious evolution of the greatness of life itself. We accept that every activity and everything that occurs in this call is an activity of that joyous union, and that it brings forward and brings to us an idea that its time has come. For we know that we grow and we expand and we live by greater consciousness, greater idea, and greater evolution. Accepting this, I simply give a moment of silence before Dr. Kathy speaks, recognizing and accepting this as my truth.
And I'm so grateful and give thanks for all that Dr. Ken has spoken. I'm in complete agreement. And I know that we come together with love as the truth between our souls, and each one of us a unique individual, and yet how wonderful it is to be together as the community of New Thought, people of like mind and like heart, sharing principles and awakening to the great good of life. And so I too know that our time together today is very effective, that which we do matters, that we are feeling feelings and embracing ideas and awakening to the ways in which New Thought has even a greater impact in the world than it already does. And so I just simply give thanks for this wonderful opportunity, also for the preparation that has gone before, for all the good that has been, for the good that is now, and all the good that is even this moment arriving and into the future. And so knowing that this is so, I release this word, and I know it is done, and so it is. Amen.
And so it is. Thank you both so much for bringing us into a place of centering and into a sacred space. So once again, we're here on New Thought on the News to remember that spirituality is the foundation of our worldview, and that we strive sincerely to connect our spiritual principles with practices in real-time situations, many of which appear in our mainstream media every day. Ken?
We all need support in this journey because overwhelmingly the news of the day is bad news, sensational and violent, filled with problems that we're told to not have solutions or at least not ones available to us. And it's no wonder that the citizens of the world are depressed and afraid. But New Thought on the News is here to remind us that the story of current civilization is presented with as the truth is actually only one of the many possible narratives we can choose as the news. You and I and our other presenters today from the Association of Global New Thought are truly here to collaborate and support one another in our choices, to look at current events according to the spiritual principles that we know to transcend the story being told by the interpreters of doom and those who trade on our confusion and our hopelessness.
And so we are not here each third Thursday to simply pretend that all is well, or that the very real and critical issues facing the world today are to be minimized or ignored as we sing Kumbaya in some magical universe of denial. We are here to take responsibility as spiritually motivated citizens and to find realistic ways to engage with these issues. This is the only way we can become part of the solution instead of paralyzed with fear and lead others into doing the same.
Great. So that said, let's move into the first part of our panel program today. And I wanted to let you know that many of you have contributed themes that you'd like to hear discussed on New Thought on the News in the future. And I'd like you to know that some of those suggested include things like sustainability, world hunger, GMOs, the diminishment of the bee population, nuclear energy, radiated waters and air, slanted journalism, ethics and morality, with fewer people being influenced by spirituality and other religious institutions, global ecology, culture, acceptance of diversity, violence, terrorism, shootings. Those are the sorts of things that many of you felt we would like to speak about on these calls in order to see what are some new perspectives we might gain. So just to begin, I'm going to ask Kathy to share some of her perspectives with us.
Well, hello, everyone. It's wonderful to be here with you, and I'm very glad that you're on the line tonight. And what I'd like to offer tonight as food for thought is consideration of how we look at and hear the news. And so my focus in this moment is less on content and those amazing issues that Barbara just read, and more on the way we engage with the events that come to us through the media. And I'll begin by saying that I've had a practice of checking in with the news pretty much every day for many years now, feeling that it is my responsibility as a global citizen and as a minister and a speaker to know what is going on so that I can speak to it and provide reflection and support when appropriate. So I am not I don't listen to the news or watch TV person, although I do feel sometimes that I have to monitor my consciousness and thinking as I do the watching. But I have found myself dismayed for the last couple of years by the sheer volume of what there is to process. And with so much more information available, I will admit to feeling crisis fatigue sometimes. And I will also share that what I find particularly wearing is the onslaught of opinions and interpretations that follow an event. In fact, I heard about a news program that advertises just the facts, no opinions. I'm going to track that one down. What I am uncomfortable with is that beyond the facts, discourse falls into back-and-forth judgments, accusations, and often disasterizing imaginations, which I don't find helpful or enlightening. But I also don't want to be so turned off that I turn away. And I had a very interesting thing take place in April that has shifted me from a focus on what I'm hearing to a more proactive orientation to what I am listening for. And I was getting my car serviced, and I was in the waiting room, and there were four large-screen TVs on, all with different programs, and two of them were directly in my line of sight. And on one, there was coverage of the Boston Marathon bombing, which had just happened. And so being portrayed was everything that media coverage is in our country. All the details, the events, the shock, the destruction, the sorrow, the heroism, speculation, opinions, projections, the manhunt, you know, all the human drama and the media's approach to that. And then right next to it on the other screen and playing simultaneously was a program called How the Universe Works. And it had the most expansive and beautiful graphics of the universe I had ever seen. Just galaxies upon galaxies, all star stuff and clouds and clusters, completely remarkable. And, of course, there was our tiny little speck of a planet in a not very distinguished galaxy far, far away. And while this is not an entirely new idea, in that moment, the cosmic unfolding isness of the universe met up in my mind with the unfolding drama of life on our planet. And the two became one in a way that I haven't forgotten yet. And I see even more clearly than I have before that we are all here in this collective experience with the opportunity to use everything for awakening to the vast reality in which we live. And from a new thought perspective, that vast reality is one and good. And so it seems to me that our opportunity is to keep letting go of the judgments, the accusations that cloud our vision, as well as the attitudes and practices and constructs that no longer serve. And realize, first of all, as difficult as many things are, that nothing is wasted, that it all counts, and that it can all be used for awakening and bringing forth something better and greater. And so what I am listening for these days, beyond the facts of events, is what is being worked on, what is being brought to light, and what is being brought to the light, and ultimately what is being transformed by how people are responding. I was, like so many people, shocked by the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman verdict, but I have been fascinated and inspired by how people are responding. They are articulating what doesn't work. They are pointing out what needs to be looked at and transformed and changed. Laws, assumptions, human interactions. So that a greater degree of wholeness and love and oneness and justice can ultimately be revealed. So that what took place never takes place again in the same way. In my own life, I know that it's been the hardest things that have brought the greatest awakening and good to me in my own evolution. My spiritual counselor once said to me at a very difficult time in my life, it took this to get you to do the healing that you've needed to do. And she was right. And I made a decision not to fall into despair, but to use my life events to awaken. And I think it is the same at the collective level of life that we share with each other. And the same is possible for us as we listen and we feel and we respond to events in our world. We don't fall into despair. Rather, we listen for what is being called forth, what is being working out, what is being worked out, what is changing, and what is evolving. And then we add our consciousness and our agreement to that. Excuse me. There is a Buddhist saying that I love. It's big doubt, big enlightenment. In other words, when things are the most impossible and the most filled with doubt for us, if we hold on, there will be an enlightenment. And I guess the Christian version of that would be big crucifixion, big resurrection. So I'll just come to conclusion here by saying that my role, as I see it, and perhaps our shared role in New Thought, is to keep faith with the unfoldment of life itself, to trust that something good and big is being worked out, and to make sure that it is. And to know that we are all a part of it, a part of welcoming the greater revelation of love and good right here on earth.
Thank you, Kathy. That's an excellent overall vision and some thoughts of why and how New Thought spiritual principles reframe the dialogue on world events in the news. And I was hoping, Dr. Ken, that you could give us some perspectives as well before we move on to the next panel part of the panel.
I'd love to, Barbara, and thank you so much, Dr. Kathy. I mean, I too agree with every word that you just stated. It's an incredible thing that we're involved in, not just the teaching that we're involved in, but the time and the place and the space that we're at as human beings. Because it seems to me that what's really coming forward is a certain freedom of the individual that's beginning to rise that makes it possible for us to not only have an opinion and agenda, not only have a thought about how the world should be, but that we actually have a way to implement it. And what's occurring for me in my experience really is the experience of knowing that there's great value in all of these opinions that are coming out, and that there seems to be a zeitgeist that's happening. There seems to be a coming together of like mind, where people are awakening, as you suggested, Dr. Kathy, to the Zimmerman affair, where people are awakening and having a voice and speaking out for it. And I think that communication is a big part of that, and I think our application is an even bigger part. And we're learning how to apply in a relatively new way to be able to do things. We're not always right on the moment and not always present when we need to be on it. However, the thing is that's happening is that our voice is being heard more today than it ever was in the past, more today than it was for our parents or our grandparents, and that our society is actually beginning to take back control of the world around us based on our collective consciousness as opposed to the consciousness that's been fed to us by fear. When I look at the themes that are put in front of us that are suggested by the registrants, and I see so many of them here, and they're so applicable and they're so valuable, each and every one of them, I can't help but find myself in a situation where I think about how the majority of people are going to be in support of a positive resolution of each and every one of them. I don't think that out of the 7.5 billion of us on this planet, that there are very many, and the master teacher Jesus said that those who are poor in spirit will always be with us, so there will be some, but I cannot think of anyone who is in support of senseless random acts of violence or lack or starvation or any of those items or things. And I recall a letter that Buckminster Fuller wrote to the city of New York when they were suffering some water issues there. And basically he wrote and he said that, you know, it's amazing to be in a world where we know that there is all the technology, we know that there is all the skill, we know that there is all the bodies, we know that there is the ability to be able to transform and change it, and the only thing that's stopping us is the concept of money. And I think about that because I think that it really is indicative of what's happening in our world, where we're beginning to take control over where we're going to put that. And we understand that the only thing that's really lacking or missing from this process of the evolution of humanity into a world that works for everyone is this concept of lack that exists within us. And so what I see happening in the world today is I see a movement, a grassroots movement, not an organization and not a structure, but an actual movement that is moving towards saying, let's put our priorities, let's put our will, let's put our intention, let's put our goals in a place that truly does bring together those things that we desire, that we want to have as human beings, those things that we are in the majority of support of. It is peculiar because the lessons that we're learning and how we're learning them is one of unity. It's one of coming together. They're all the spiritual lessons that are taught through the Science of Mind and through Centers for Spiritual Living and through so many other ways and avenues that they're done. And they're laid out there. And it seems obvious that what we need to do is start having compassion and caring for each other so that what we can do is we can move into the way that we know life can be and the way life can work. And when we look at the media, and there's an old saying that says, if it bleeds, it leads, that saying has got to go by the wayside. We have to start looking past the anomalies of society and start looking at the good things. We have to choose to begin to embrace the idea that we're moving forward in this world, which indeed we are, and it's been demonstrated and proven. The world is a safer place today than it ever has been in the past. That there aren't as many wars as there ever has been in the past. And we're actually making progress and we're making headway. And what I would like to do or say to the audience that's here right now is the same thing I say to everyone I come in contact with, is don't give up. Don't lay down the patience. Don't give way to this world that's sitting in front of us. and recognize and realize that what's transpiring here, what's occurring here, is a divine manifestation to bring us into that ideal of the Eden of life, a world that works for everyone. And sometimes it takes great power to do that. But I'm so blessed and honored to be part of an organization and part of a movement that knows that the priority of doing that is greater than the priority of the minutiae that happens on the side. So I just thank you all for being here, and I bless you.
Thank you, Ken. You know, as we're sitting here and listening to Dr. Kathy and Dr. Ken, I'm wondering if any of you who are in the listening audience today might have had some thoughts or brief questions that have come up so far before we move on. And we'd love to hear a little feedback from you if you'd like to give any to us at this time. The way that you can let us know you'd like to say something would be to press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. And if we see any little hands go up, we might take just a few comments before we move on to the next part of our program. I see that there's a comment or a question from Kathleen Lenover. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi. Thank you so much for doing this. It's awesome. Ken, I just got back from a trip to the UN and was overwhelmed with in the tour as to how much has been accomplished in Millennium 2015. Primarily around women issues and economic issues, overwhelmed, so much good. They did mention that recently we have lived through a time where we have had less wars than in other generations. And when you said that earlier, it triggered that the memory of that tour through the UN. So I think my reflection is, I don't know if it's a question, but I'd love your comments. I think it gave me a greater determination that perhaps our job is to keep telling the damn good news. There is so much good news all around us, and we keep hitting the 10 o'clock news, which is depressing and not balanced and et cetera. And so I struggle with that as Kathy was saying, I too struggle with that on a daily basis. Do I watch it? Do I make it a point of prayer? Do I just blow it off? Or do I sit there and argue with it? So all this stuff comes up for me when I was thrilled to find out from the UN the quantum leaps that have been made around creating a better world economically, and especially for women. Your thoughts?
Ken, would you like to respond?
Kathleen, I'd like to say yes. We're making progress, and we still have a tendency to look at the progress we're not making, and rightfully so, because there's more ground to be covered. But the simple truth of the matter is that the world transformed place from what it was even 50 years ago. And it's groups like this that are helping do it. And I firmly believe that our voice and our consciousness will be reflected into the world around us. And when I see what's happening in the world today, you know that there is only, there's a civil war in Somalia right now. We're withdrawing from Iraq and Afghanistan, rightfully so, and about time. And the only other two wars that I've been notified of, at least, that exist in the world today is the war on drugs and the war on terror, which really aren't wars. So I really find it a fascinating thing to look at the world. When I was first teaching, I remember walking into a classroom and seeing, I was teaching in a schoolroom because we hadn't had a center yet because we founded our church. And I remember looking at the walls of the schoolroom, and all the affirmations that I'd been learning for 20 years were packed up for the little kids around the outside. And this was 20 years ago, and these little kids are adults now. And it's happening. And thank you for noticing, and thank you for having the tenacity to stay with.
Thank you. Thank you both for those comments. Let's take one more brief comment and possibly a follow-up if it's a question for one of the panelists, and then we'll move on to the second portion. Let's take a question or comment from Ginger Charles. Hi, Ginger.
Hello. I just have a quick comment, and that is just a thank you to Dr. Kathy and Dr. Ken for the wonderful words. They were absolutely perfect, resonating in my heart tonight. And I really thank all of you for being a part of my new family.
Nice. Thank you.
Love it. Thank you. Okay, so the format of our program is such that we would now like to hear again first from Dr. Kathy, then from Dr. Ken. This time their topics are just a touch more specific, both having to do with spiritual empowerment in the face of what's going on in the world today. So first, I'd like to ask Kathy to speak about spiritual empowerment from the point of view of how we move from victimhood to responsibility. Dr. Kathy.
Thank you, Barbara. So happy to address this topic, and I'm making lots of I statements here except for what I'm just about to say, because I think each one of us come to and need to come to these matters first individually, needing to determine where we stand personally and then how we will stand together. There are, for me, any number of really difficult and challenging situations in our country and on the planet right now. We've already heard the list that Barbara shared. But I'll just name a few that are uppermost for me, and I'm not even touching into economic or human rights or justice issues. But the whole matter of climate change, you know, and the alarming increase of natural disasters, the question of how much more our atmosphere can handle the burning of fossil fuels, the issue of Monsanto and genetically modified foods and what the impact of that is. Here in San Diego, I periodically see chemtrails in the sky above San Diego. One day I saw them all the way up to Long Beach, and I also saw them in Italy when we were there. And if you're not familiar with those, planes fly overhead, crisscrossing the sky with what appear to be vapor trails at first, but the trails spread and multiply and turn the sky into to make it full of haze. And I believe it's all done to modify weather, but it's all without our agreement and consent, and we're breathing whatever it is that's put up there. And then another thing that truly amazed me a while ago that I haven't heard about recently was the huge mass of plastic bottles in our oceans. So these are things that go bump in the night for me, and I'm sure that there are others that catch your attention. But as I think about them and all the issues, questions rise up. What are we to do? What is there to do? And really, what is mine to do? And what I don't want to do is fall into avoidance, to denial, to despair, to the feeling of powerlessness and victimization. Especially feeling like a victim is not what I want to feel. And for me, that is not at all a spiritual place to stand, because it ignores a power that I have and that we all have, that we acknowledge in New Thought. And that is the power to take responsibility for what moves through my consciousness and to influence and create not only my life but the world through conscious thought. And so I realize that if I'm feeling powerless or like a victim with regard to things in the world, that first of all, I haven't truly educated myself about the issues and the situations. Secondly, I haven't given time and energy to knowing what is truly going on. I just engage at a superficial level with them. Thirdly, I haven't investigated what is being done that I can participate in. And the fourth thing is I haven't made a commitment to do so. And so I realize that without those things, without education and research, investigation and commitment, I cannot help but feel powerless, because I've made myself powerless. And our dear Barbara Fields actually very kindly signed me up for the Nation of Change newsletter, which I'm just beginning to read, so my process of enlightenment can begin. I also know that I can't rest in the state of blame, blaming institutions, corporations, powers outside of me that look greater than I am, because it's the blaming that makes me a victim. I have to realize that I'm in life with all that is taking place. And I know that I have to give up ignoring and any ignorance regarding what's happening and take responsibility for knowledge and action. And so on a spiritual level, I can take responsibility for setting consciousness for what I want for the world I want to see. I can get clear and set consciousness, set mental equivalence, and set intention for a healthy, clean, and balanced planet, for corporate and individual practices that support it, for the right use of power and energy with all levels of meaning of those words, for justice and human rights and love and compassion and caring, and for human intelligence coming up with amazing solutions and breakthroughs of good. And once I set my consciousness and set that intention, I can start praying for this daily and seeing it as so and taking personal action then to back it up. And then I can join in agreement with others about these things. And I want to speak for a moment about the power of agreement. There's a beautiful statement from Matthew in the Bible in the New Testament. It says, whenever two or more agree as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father in heaven. Whenever two or more agree as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done. And that is the power of agreement. We spend a lot of time as human creatures in agreement with each other about what is wrong, what is bad, what is broken, and what is missing. And I want to be a voice for harnessing the power of agreement for what we want, for what is good, for what is whole, for what is beautiful, what is kind, what is compassionate, and what is just. And I think that's how we can claim our spiritual empowerment and unite our individual intentions and commitments to generate a collective power to bring forth a greater good on behalf of all. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Kathy. Even as you were speaking, I felt myself move in that same trajectory you were speaking about when I was first hearing about these issues that are of concern to me as well. I had that victimization feeling come up. And as you started talking more about the clarity of taking responsibility through our spiritual principles, I really calmed down and started to see that we can't be paralyzed by our fear, and victimhood is tied to that kind of fear. So in this same vein, I know that Ken has some thoughts to share with us also about spiritual empowerment, but the topic that he articulated is very interesting to me. He's going to talk about how we move from consumerism to citizenship. Dr. Ken?
Thank you, Barbara, and thank you, Dr. Kathy, again. I miss working with you so much.
I feel the same.
And on stages so often together, and it was marvelous. Yet everything you talked about, victim to responsibility, holds true for me. I was thinking that the United Church of Canada, which is like a Methodist Lutheran coming together, has banned bottled water in their centers and in their churches. And I really recognize that is a self-responsibility that's being taken to be able to transform and change some of the things, namely that ocean of bottles that are floating around in the North Pacific right now. And it also represents for me how I look at things. I can remember as a child, the big thing is as a child that I was being taught to do was to become a good citizen, which means that I had a part to play in the world around me and that I had something to add to the world. And it was added through my vote. It was added through my voice. And I was raised that way, as most of us who are over the age of at least 40 were. And the surprising thing that happened to me was one day when I discovered that my government, which happens to be the Canadian government and probably isn't that far off from the American government and other Western world governments, that I discovered that they stopped calling me a citizen at some point and started calling me a consumer. In other words, I was being branded and I was being marked and labeled as a part of our society that had to do with the economy more than it had to do with the direction or the intention of what the country looked like. And when I found myself looking at that, I recognized that somehow or other in the 20 years period that this happened, that I'd been lulled into a mitote, as Don Miguel Ruiz would say, the fog of life. And I'd been lulled there by all the trappings of the world that were laying out in front of me, just waiting for me to pick up. And suddenly I was more concerned on getting bigger and greater and brighter things in my life than I was on what was happening in the planet. That the government and that the unified force of our collective consciousness had actually transformed in such a way that my voice was not being given as much credibility, and instead my dollar, the value that I was spending it on, was being given all of the power. And what I find about that is that without any question or hesitation, I would have us choose to go back to citizenship, which for me represents a self-responsibility and a self-accountability as we enter into the world around us. And that it becomes really important for us to do that and to be proactive to make that happen. And that means not to lay down, not to withdraw, not to put down anything around us and the ideas and the intentions and the feelings that we have, but to speak up and let it be known, to let what our opinions are to be known, and to, more importantly, live and model the example that we're talking about being put out into the world. And when we talk about plastic bottles, we can do that by simply not drinking bottled water, instead drinking water that comes in a carafe or whatever else. But it also fits the other areas of our life as well. We don't need to use as much fossil fuel. We don't need to do all of the things that we do that disturb the planet and bring the planet to a place that maybe perhaps it is less than conscious. But more importantly and most importantly for me is to really step up and realize and recognize that something has shifted at some point in the 60 years that I call my life, and that it needs to shift back. And that if it does shift back, what will happen or what will occur is that the will of the people will begin to be heard, listened to, and obeyed and followed, instead of the other way around. Now, I don't think I'm a victim of the government. I think that I and a great many other people were asleep for a long period of time. I think that I nodded off. I'll own it myself. And when I nodded off, what happened was I woke up and I found everything different because I didn't say it shouldn't be different. And everybody else seemed to agree that that was where it was. And I think it's time that we really wake up and we start taking responsibility for the world around us. So when I think about the idea of victim to responsibility, I realize that entitlement and this sense of them doing it to me cannot exist anymore. And by the very principles that are espoused in New Thought, we must choose to realize that we're a part of everything that takes place, and therefore we need to be an active part. So I'm finding that in our organization, which is one small part of New Thought, that what we're beginning to do is to take social action and social accountability. We're beginning to create and open doors to have communication with other people. I just recently came back from a Pentecostal conference, which most people find quite surprising, but the Pentecostal conference was really talking about how to create a world that works for everyone, and it was a group of people in the Fellowship for Affirming Ministries and Centers for Spiritual Living to be able to carry on a discussion about putting down what we think is different about each other and instead picking up what we know to be the same. It's time that we move into a post-denominational world and that we get together and that we have our voice heard, and that despite the trivialities that might occur in our world around us, what we do is we keep our eye on the vision of creating that world that works for everyone rather than letting our petty differences stand between us and it. This is who I want to be, and this is who I want to associate with, and this is who I want our organization to be and New Thought to be. And I think it's in wonderful hands with the people that I'm involved with in the world right now. So blessings, and those are my thoughts.
Thank you, Ken. Now, I'm sure that the many people who are on our call with us today are having quite a few responses and reactions to the ideas that you just heard put forth. And so just for a short amount of time, I would like to put everyone into some small group circles. There'll probably be about 4 or 5 of you in each group. Megan is going to engineer how that happens, and basically we'll be putting you into breakout groups to discuss all the questions and insights that have come up for you in our conversation thus far. A bell will ring and an announcement will be made that you're in your breakout group, and this is where you begin to facilitate yourselves. An easy way to do this, since obviously you can't see each other, is to start by going around and just introducing yourself and where you're from, and then go around again, go alphabetically this time by first name, and each take a minute or two to just share your thoughts with your group, and then a bell will ring about halfway through the session just to help you with your timing, and another bell will ring again just before the session is ending. So in just a moment, we'll be placing you in the group. And when the group is beginning, you'll hear an announcement, and the bell will let you know. Okay, I think we're back all together in the same room. And I hope that those discussions were enlightening. I'm sure that they were. They almost always are a really nice part of our program where everybody has a chance to meet each other briefly and share some thoughts on the topic. So before we conclude today with some information about next month's New Thought on the News and also a blessing with Dr. Kathy and Dr. Ken, I wonder, Kathy and or Ken, if you would have any last comments to give or any thoughts that have come up?
I would just say thank you to everybody. It's just been delightful to be with you. And, you know, we're all moving together in and as the light, helping to transform the world. It's a good thing.
And I would just like to ride on that, and I certainly don't want to say the same thing, but I agree with it. And I'd just like to point out that every one of you is precious, and every one of you is required to really transcend the collective consciousness we're in now and create a new one, and that's what we're about. And means of communication like this are valuable, and I bless Barbara for bringing it forward for us, and I thank you for being here and for caring.
Thank you all. Our next New Thought on the News edition number 3, takes place on Thursday, August 15th from 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Those of you who have signed up for this call can use the same call-in number and PIN for that call and all subsequent calls. Our guests for that program will be Dr. Michael Beckwith of Agape Spiritual Center in Los Angeles and Reverend Wendy Craig Purcell from the Unity Center in San Diego. We'll email everyone with information about the program, and we'll also let you know when the recording of today's program is up on the AGNT website if you'd like to review anything that was said today. So maybe we'll end with a small prayer and blessing as we move forward, Kathy and Ken.
Sure. All right. I'll go ahead and begin. So let's just turn within for a moment, and I invite you to take a deep breath and let it go. Taking for a moment to connect with the thoughts and the feelings that you're having. And that everything is wonderfully in process. As we invite all that life is, all that God is, to work through us into expression. So I wholeheartedly give thanks for this time and for the presence of each one. And I know that something so much greater than the sum of the parts is taking place here. And that as we stand together in love and in consciousness, we create a wide open portal through which Spirit works. And I accept that Spirit moves through us to will and to do all that needs to be done. And that each and every one of us is perfectly guided as we go about the work of bringing consciousness to the transformation of the world and the bringing forth of the highest and greatest good. I give thanks for this, and I pass the word to Dr. Ken.
And I just simply recognize and acknowledge the power that has been transmuted in this call and through the people that are here. I know with the depth of believing that something has happened here that will never be the same, that we have transformed the world at depth, that each of us have been in our own way, in mind and thought, born again, that we enter into this new world with a brightness and a lightness, with a view and a vision for the greatness and the possibility and potential, and that we dedicate our lives to the best way possible, and Spirit operates through us to bring forward that understanding and that appreciation without exception and without doubt, that from this moment forward we live anew, recreated in the idea that this world is a great and beautiful and joyous place, and embracing and accepting it as so, and therefore seeing it, attracting and dissolving anything unlike it into our experience and into our world, not only for our benefit, but for the benefit of all. I accept that this has already taken place, that this is the truth, and joyously, with an unconditional gratitude that this is so, I surrender it back into that mind, which is all mind in your mind, my mind, and I let it be the truth and I live from it. And I ground this by saying, and so it is.
So it is. Dr. Kathy Hearn and Dr. Ken Gordon, thank you so much for being with us today and for bringing us these enlightened insights. So very interesting and stimulating. So, in the interest of saying goodbye in our collective field, sharing this new energy as a community, we're going to turn all the mics back on. And on the count of three, please join us in wishing each other peace and offering peace to all beings. And then we'll say goodbye and we'll see you next time. Here, we're ready to go. One, two, and three.
Thank you.